Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. And we continue to celebrate and to walk through this very important season of the church year, this season of Lent, season of purification, a season of penance and drawing near to the Lord. And what I wanted to do today was just take a deeper look into what is meant by this penitential season to help us lay hold of it together more deeply. In particular, one of the reasons I want to do it is to help each and every one of us, each of you who are listening, and just remind myself of the significance and the value and the purpose of the season. And obviously for our own personal gain, our own personal transformation, blessing for the church itself, for the communities that we're a part of, but I also in the back of my mind just have a regular awareness and concern for the craziness that's in the culture these days, just the level of corruption that we're seeing in our government, the wars around the world, the disruption in our cities, just a lot of significant things that are happening, as well as lots of people just disconnected from God. So part of the season is for us to pray not only for ourselves and our families, our parishes and our diocese as we journey together, but also to bring our prayers and intercession and offering up sacrifices for the people who live around us, for the countries that we live in. Because the spiritual combat's very, very intense, and our prayers matter, and our going deeper into the Lord and surrendering our lives and becoming more purified, being more united to Jesus, allows us to be able, in a season like this, hopefully we're slowing down just a little bit, or we're turning off our phone a few times during the day, gaining some quiet, trying to get into a little bit of a rhythm of prayer and offering to the Lord, frequenting Mass, taking up the Word of God, the sacraments and the like. So remembering that when we go out obviously first for ourselves, and we bring with it in our hearts our families and those we love. But I think it's important to bring to our prayer each day our country, the world, the need for conversion, the need for deep repentance on the lives of the Christian people and the church itself. It's such an important season, and it's an amazing offering of God as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus when he was in the desert for 40 days, engaging in spiritual combat. We're doing the same here. So we're battling for ourselves under the grace of God, but also battling for others during this season and taking it seriously. I keep thinking of 2 Chronicles 7:14. That passage said, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, repent and seek my face, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." I will heal their land. In major ways, our country, which has been so blessed, like so many countries have been so blessed, to receive healing. Despite all the blessing, there's just so much there that is in need of healing. And what we need more of is the peace of Christ to reign in our hearts and to reign in the hearts of our political leaders and others around the world, to be able to bring about peace, bring an end to wars, to bring about kind of righteousness and a renewing of conscience and having clarity and having a kind of healthy fear of God emerge in human hearts. And it's a time of grace for us, but it's a time of grace for those we intercede for. But just to kind of remember elements of the season, it began on Ash Wednesday, and the following day I talked about this being a penitential season. It's really from the Latin term penitentia, which really means repentance, sorrow for sin, seeking conversion. And really at the heart of it is metanoia, the transformation, the conversion, a deeper conversion to the human heart. The church invites us to turn away from sin and turn back to God through repentance expressed in concrete practices. So what does penance look like for us, right? Interior penance, Catechism, paragraph 1431. Interior repentance is a radical reorientation of our whole life, a return, a conversion to God with all of our heart. I just want to read that again. What a powerful summary, a great expression, understanding of what Lent is really all about in this penitential journey we're on together. Interior repentance is a radical reorientation of our whole life and a return, a conversion to God with all of our heart. It includes sorrow for sin, it includes hatred for what separates us from God and desire to change and a deep, deep trust in God's mercy. Jesus said, when you fast, don't look dismal. Here's one of the things that we are challenged by, I think, sometimes in the season of Lent when we're fasting and bringing about some disciplines in our life that we don't normally have to kind of subdue our flesh and the noise that's within us. And it can be easy to walk around with a kind of discouragement and a frustration with the season and the weight of it. And remembering what Jesus said is an important thing. When you fast, do not look dismal. I'm saying I'm laughing because I'm talking to myself, really. But the heart is really the centerpiece of what we're after, is the transformation of the heart. That's internal, right? But also the external penance that we express to the Lord in the turning. So interior repentance must take bodily form for us. And this is one of the things that is beautiful about the Catholic Church, is the incarnation that the church understands. We're body and soul and spirit. And we don't have a problem with the body like the Manichaeans and others in the past. We don't reject the body, all of it. We're a temple of the living God. So the whole temple is brought into this season of Lent and the repentance and response to God. So our whole person, the deep interior, the spirit, the heart, the soul, but also the body, again, just as Jesus did in the desert, just as Israel did in its wanderings in the desert, the whole person is being brought into and being, through God's grace, being subdued and brought further under the will of God, the majesty of God, the awareness of the love of God. So turning the heart back to God includes times being in conversation with Jesus. We've talked many times on the program about abiding in the Lord. This is the Lord's deep personal invitation to us and command. And so that's one of the reasons we want to look at it seriously. It's not just an option. It's a fundamental command from the Lord that is to call us into a particular kind of relationship with Him and paying attention to Him. That abiding means living in conversation with Jesus daily and throughout the day, practicing His presence. And that begins with engaging Him in our personal prayer from the heart, from the spirit within us, and then taking up the living Word of God, the Bible, which is God's love letter to us. It's literally written by the Spirit of God and by the authors who, under the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, are communicating to us a living Word. And that Word enables us to hear the Lord, the voice of the Lord. And it's actually quite common for me in my experiences. I've traveled in different places around the world, engaging in ministry, teaching people how to hear the Lord. And many, many people, if I ask the question, how many of you raise your hands if you experienced hearing the voice of God? I don't mean audibly, but in some way you experienced inspiration of God speaking directly to you. And many people raise their hand and say it doesn't really happen to them. Well, one of the first places it's meant to happen is in the Word of God. That's a personal word to you. It's a word to the whole body as well, but to each and every one of us. And that word is alive and animated. And when the human heart and the ears of the interior heart hear inspired words from the Lord, words that the Lord will highlight for us, that He calls us, the Holy Spirit will awaken us to a particular expression, particular word, particular thing the Lord wants to say to us. When that word touches our spirit, when the Spirit of God touches the human spirit with a living Word, it is transformational. It's powerful. So don't miss taking up the Word of God. Now, you might be reading different kinds of devotionals. That's great. Wonderful. Lives of the Saints, I'm doing it right now. And St. Bernard of Clairvaux, which that man is challenging me every single day, but also inspiring me and filling my heart with joy, especially his reflection on the Song of Songs. So I love that stuff, but there's nothing like the Word of God. The sacraments, the body and blood of Jesus, and the Bible. That's why it's given to us in Mass every day, and particularly as we celebrate it on Sunday. So more time in Scripture, more time in silence, Americans. We need this, Westerners. Turning off the phone at different times during the day. Some people are making really wonderful, I've heard various folks testifying what they're doing is really setting aside the phone in very significant ways and just shutting off all the YouTubes and the videos and the rest of it, just trying to find a space for silence. It's very hard to hear the voice of the Lord without having periods of quiet, stillness, silence. And then a greater intensification of the examination of conscience before you go to bed at night. Just kind of reviewing the day in the good Jesuit sense of that, being able to to look through the day and bring to the Lord the thanksgiving that we have for the work he did in us in that day and through us, and then also just acknowledging the ways we may have fallen, the ways we haven't stepped up to what we've committed ourselves to do, to be able to bring that to the Lord in repentance and to receive his grace. And of course, adoration. So all these dimensions of prayer helps reorder the love within us. And the saints regularly tell us that the biggest battle we have, and Augustine would say, for example, is our loves are out of order, love of God, love of self, love of neighbor. And a season like this can help reorder with God's grace. Rightly ordered love is one of the things that brings peace. Another area, so prayer and fasting, freely renouncing legitimate goods like food, comfort, entertainment, habits of indulgence. Why fast? I love this quote from Leo the Great. What we deny ourselves, we give to Christ. What we deny ourselves, we give to Christ. We deny some of the favorite things we love to eat, love to do, love to distract ourselves with, and we give that time to Christ. Jesus is our food. Jesus is our greatest fascination if we allow ourselves to really, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the teaching of the saints, to gaze on Jesus and to go deeper in our relationship with him and knowledge and love of the Father. Fasting weakens disordered desires. It strengthens spiritual freedom, unites us to Christ's self-denial, and teaches us hunger for God. Those are all things that we need desperately. Again, as I'm just reading this, I'm thinking, it's so important for us to be able to be engaging dimensions of this, again, for our own sake, the sake of our families, our friendships, our parishes, but for the sake of the world. You are the light of the world. And this is what it means to glow with greater radiance of light, is to be conformed to the Lord and get serious about yielding ourselves to the grace of God as the Lord wants to take us deeper into an imitation of his life. And of course, third, almsgiving prayer, fasting and almsgiving. Love expressed toward neighbor. It's one of the reasons this is so important to us. Financial generosity, service, mercy, forgiveness. Almsgiving heals selfishness and it opens the heart and helps bring about freedom. And it's another way in which we're keeping our neighbor in mind, especially the poor that we know, those who are in financial need. I have some family and friends and others who are in need of financial support and we give it to them. And it's amazing to me how hard it is for me to let go of money. It's just crazy. And I could preach total dependence on the Lord and trust in the Lord as good as anybody, I guess, in different ways. But at the end of the day, the question is, am I doing it? Am I walking the walk? And money is an idol. It is a power. There's no doubt about it. And it's easy to have our identity connected to the money. That's why Scripture, the love of money is the root of all evil. Sometimes I think, well, really? The love of money is the root of all evil? Actually, one of the reasons it's so powerful is we end up having a relationship to it like, this is where I have security. And the more I have, the more security I'm going to have and control and all the rest of it. And it's an idol. It's simply a material thing that's here today and it's gone tomorrow. We want to be free of it and to look at our neighbor and be generous. So friends, let's continue to help each other walk in this great season of Lent. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.